Joining us on the line now from the UK is Sarah Dickinson. She's the founder of Electric Airways, London's leading media presentation, training and consulting company. She also founded Ladbroke Radio, one of the first independent radio production companies. They produce programmes for the BBC and commercial radio. She now divides her time between London and the Caribbean island of Montserrat. Her book, Plenty Mango, Postcards from the Caribbean, is a series of charming essays about life on the beautiful island of Montserrat. Good morning, Sarah.
Good morning, Hannah.
Thank you very much for joining us.
My pleasure.
So before we talk about Montserrat, which I'm dying to ask you about, tell me a bit about your time in radio, can you?
Well, radio is certainly my favourite medium in the media. There's this awful joke, isn't there, about she's got a great face for radio. But what I found, I've worked in both radio and television and in front of camera and television, but the great thing about radio is, you know, it's so immediate. You can record something, you can edit it, you can get it out on air within half an hour. And television is much more, again, as you know, is much more complex. And also I think that the joy of radio for me, and I'm sure you're the same, and I hope for your listeners, is that you paint this picture in words, and it leaves the listener with freedom of the imagination. So I'm a radio fan, first and foremost.
Mm, lovely. And tell us about Ladbroke Radio then and the work you did there.
Well, it's nothing to do with the betting chain, which people always used to say. But it started many years ago. I used to present a programme a bit like yours on LBC, London Broadcasting, which was the first all-speech radio station in London. And, of course, radio is the poor Cinderella of the media because it never makes any money, and this was the first commercial radio station. So although I sort of rose to the lofty position of presenter of an arts program, in fact, there wasn't any money. So myself and two other people, how do I put this politely, early in the morning? We were given the boot, let's be honest. So anyway, off we went, and we thought, well, you know all these people. We've interviewed all these interesting authors. Why don't we set up our own little independent radio production company and see if radio, I'm not sure when radio was in existence then, but why don't we see if local radio around the UK would be interested in our interviews. And surprise, surprise, they were. Mm. So it was called Ladbroke Radio because Tony Palmer, the filmmaker, who was one of the partners and founders, he lived in Ladbroke Grove. So there it became Ladbroke Radio and still is to this day.
Oh, fantastic. So when and why did you go to Montserrat for the first time?
Well, Hannah, how long have you got? Like so many of us in life, things happen, don't they, when you least expect them. And Montserrat, this tiny little gem of an island in the middle of the Caribbean Sea, we'd never heard of. But many years ago, we had a near-fatal car crash. We were driving through northern France, and I have to admit, I was driving. I have to get that one out of the way quickly. But John, my lovely husband, he, thank goodness, saved my life and got me out of this burning car. Anyway, we were just married. We didn't have any children. But we felt, come the winter, we felt really very happy to be alive, but battered and bruised in the soul. And so we thought, well, let's go somewhere we've never been before, warm. So what about the Caribbean? We said, oh, okay, what about the Caribbean? So off we went, and we first landed in a place called Nevis, a little island, and then someone said, well, if you like Nevis, you should try Montserrat. And we didn't know where it was, but it, as I say, it's this tiny volcanic little island. Easiest way to describe it is 20 minutes flying time from Antigua. A lot of people have heard of Antigua. So anyway, we found this place, and as you do with people, we fell in love with each other. We were still in love, but with this little island. And John is an architect. And there we were, watching the sun go down with the, it's a bit early in the morning to talk about it, but with the classic Mount Gay rum and coke. And he said, you know, I want to find some land and build and design some beautiful Caribbean-style villas. And I thought absolutely nothing of it. So we're not going to do that. And little did I realize that about a year later, he did find that land. And we mortgaged everything we had and managed to raise the money and began building Isles Bay Plantation. And we thought, this is wonderful because the climate is wonderful, the people are great, and this was good for the island and good for us.
Mm. So is it still there? Do you still you go back there?
Oh, absolutely. But, of course, again, in life, how these things happen, Anna, because we'd had all the geological surveys done because it is is on the volcanic sort of necklace, the chain of volcanic islands and in the Eastern Caribbean. And we'd had all the surveys done. And this volcano, the Soufre Hills it's called, had been dormant for 400 years. So we thought, well, that should be okay. But then it's etched on my memory on the 18th of July, 1995, the volcano became active again.
Gosh.
And it's like all of us and all the people listening to you, when something dramatic happens, you cope immediately, don't you? If somebody tragically dies, you cope and you sort of get on with it. We all sort of coped on the island immediately because made sure everybody was safe. Some people were evacuated. Well, a lot of people were evacuated. But it's the knock-on effect that causes such distress and anguish because this volcano, that was 1995, and she isn't yet completely dormant. And the economic effect for us, as you can imagine, was near meltdown because we'd built, when we say we, John and the team had built 7 houses, but, you know, we had not broken even. And the irony of life, isn't it? We only needed to build one more. Mm. I get goosebumps when I think of this. We only needed to build one more. And we would have broken even.
Oh.
Anyway, what do you do in a situation like that? And so, one of the houses we had bought. So we thought, well, we'll just hang in there. I still had my radio work, and you know, you were talking about Electric Airways earlier. I started that company because. Media training was very much in its infancy then. And so I know we all work hard, but I don't think I've ever worked so hard in my life because the volcano had a voracious financial appetite.
Mm.
But, Anna, we're still here, you know, and I've kept a journal. I think a lot of people who write keep journals, and I'd kept a journal for years and years, and I thought, you know, I'm going to write about this because it's a real story about real people on a tiny 7 miles by 11 miles volcanic island. So that's how Plenty Mango came about.
Yes. And why Plenty Mango? What's the relevance of that?
Well, there's a wonderful West Indian phrase, and I'm not very good at the West Indian accents, but it's called, they say, pots bottom up. Plenty mango. So what that means, in the mango season, and sometimes there are 2 fruitings a year, there are mangoes all around the island. So you would never have to cook. You just pick a mango from the tree. You turn over your pots and pans because you don't have to cook. So it's an expression that was too long for the title, but I love the sound of, they say, plenty mango. And I thought, I like that. So Plenty Mango.
Oh, it's lovely. And I have to ask you about, just quickly, one of the characters in the book, Moose and his honesty bar.
Well, I don't know whether, I wonder in Spain whether you've ever come across an honesty bar. But the first time we had it, Moose is called Moose because of his stature, his size, his physique. I don't know what his real name is, but everybody calls him Moose. And he had this bar that he'd built out into the sea and in a little village called Kinsale, which sadly was completely engulfed by the pyroclastic flows from the volcano. Anyway, first time we went there, and our boys were very young, went to this bar to watch the sunset. And there was no one behind the bar. And he just used to say, help yourself and tell me at the end what you've had. And I thought, my goodness, that's a trusting. But in fact, it's very much a sort of Montserratian attitude. You don't lock your doors. If you've forgotten your purse, well, you'll pay later. It's a wonderfully friendly, honest little island. But I'm very fond of Moose, and he has this phrase, positive. How are you? How are you, Moose, today? Positive. Even in the height of the volcano, everything was positive. And we've just come back from Montserrat, and my sister came to visit one of her children, and we went down, of course, to see Moose. And as we were leaving, he just handed us two lobsters and didn't say anything, wouldn't take any money.
Aww.
And I thought, oh, goodness, it brings tears to your eyes.
Yes. How wonderful. I love that idea of an honesty bar. What an amazing thing to be able to do.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
Isn't it? And it works. As I say in the story about him, that the only thing that is secured is the bottle opener.
Fantastic. You asked if we have anything like that in Spain. The answer is no. We do not. Certainly not that I've ever come across anyway.
But you do have Porta Banus, so
we do, yes. And you have to pay for everything. You have to pay for everything in Puerto Banus. Totally different. It sounds like a beautiful place to visit, and I'm looking forward to reading more of your stories. Plenty Mango is the book, Postcards from the Caribbean, and it's by Sarah Dickinson, who we've been chatting to. Sarah, thank you so much for joining us.
A real pleasure, and have a good day.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Many thanks, Hannah. Bye.